Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. American officials are talking with Israeli officials, trying to keep hostilities with Hezbollah from spreading. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Tel Aviv.
The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been pressing Defense Minister Yoav Gallant for a diplomatic solution to the fighting. The U.S. State Department is warning all Americans to leave Lebanon, while commercial flights are still available.
President Biden will have a lot to talk about when he makes his final address to the U.N. General Assembly this morning, says White House spokesman John Kirby.
Mobilizing resources for developing countries, managing the risks and benefits of artificial intelligence, and helping end the brutal wars in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan.
A powerful storm is about 2.5 days away from a possible landfall in Florida's Big Bend. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The storm is expected to pack a punch, at least a Category 2 or 3 storm, potentially up to a Category 4.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Former President Donald Trump is coming back to the Badger State. He's set to hold a rally in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, the adopted hometown of Derek Van Orden, one of his biggest supporters in the House of Representatives. Van Orden is being challenged by Democrat Rebecca Cook in November. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is currently on a bus tour throughout Wisconsin. Today, they're in Appleton, Green Bay, and Beaver Dam. The last time Trump was in Wisconsin, it was in Wausau just about 2 weeks ago. And former Governor Tommy Thompson says he wants former President Donald Trump to campaign in the state's two bluest counties. He says Wisconsin is not a done deal for Kamala Harris and says Trump's team should come to Dane and Milwaukee counties, which he called, quote, the belly of the beast. In 2020, Joe Biden won 75% of the vote in Dane County and 69% of the vote in Milwaukee County. So it's yet to be seen whether the Trump team will take that advice. That's what you need to know. Now here's some news from closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A major Milwaukee collaboration between sports and technology is on the horizon. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Wylo Group will tomorrow announce a new global partnership. The announcement will be made during a press conference at the Fiserv Forum, which will include remarks from Governor Tony Evers. The Wylo Group is described as the world's leading premium supplier of pumps and water management systems. That event at the Fiserv is at noon tomorrow. Mount Tosa might have a new mission. Wauwatosa's former landfill, referred to as Mount Tosa, is once again the subject of redevelopment proposals. There are two new ideas up for consideration. One plan transforms the site into an industrial building, while the other proposes creating a driving range. City leaders are currently evaluating the options, though no decisions have been made. Similar proposals in 2019 failed to gain support from city leaders. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last two games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have six games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for three games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next two Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with scattered rain likely today. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down later this afternoon. Our high today, 67. The wind will be northeast at about 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
In a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller, and I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival, but you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it was a beautiful fall day yesterday, and it's a dreary one today.
Rain. We needed rain. We got rain. We had songs for rain. We got rain.
We clearly needed rain, and by now you know who that fellow is on the other side. That's none other than Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad there's rain. Unlike our young friend who's apparently thinks it's a bad omen.
A curse.
Yeah, a curse. Yeah, I had Friday. I had all that music for rain. Now we got rain.
You know what? I was saying to my wife, it's been so dry over almost the entire month, between the end of October and
August.
Yeah, and now September, almost, you know, record kind of breaking droughts. And all I could think about is, man, how the animals, this has got to be, man, for birds and,
oh yeah, I mean,
and squirrels and others, the fact that they can survive droughts is an amazing thing, right?
Yeah. They don't have canteens, no thermos.
They can't go to the store and buy a bottle of water.
No. They can't afford it.
No, man, there are no water coolers. Well, some have, you know, in your vast, land around. Do you have places?
Where got the river. We got there's water. I mean, there's standing water. There's lakes and things like that. So birds can fly to it. I suspect the land-bound animals have a little more difficulty.
So I have to respond to Brendan already this morning in a text message.
Hmm.
He wants to know if there's an off switch for my shirt.
Oh, well, he's obviously watching. Yeah,
come on.
It is flame yellow. Is that why they call you a flamer? I'm sorry. That was uncalled for.
No, man. You know, Sandy.
Yeah.
So much to talk about. I want to begin with this, Sandy. I want to challenge the narrative. 844-967-2789 is the number that people say, I can't vote for Kamala Harris because she keeps changing her mind, and we don't know what her plans are. So because of that, I have no other choice but to vote for Donald Trump. So can you help me understand that way of thinking? Because I clearly, you know, I know what Donald Trump stands for, what he says, what, you know. And even if it was true that Kamala Harris, you know, I said if. Is we don't know where she stands on things and all those kind of things. How do you get from there to, I got to vote for Donald Trump?
Well, you know, the implication is that somehow they know what Donald Trump stands for. Well, they know that he was president for 4 years, and they can look at whatever coincidences in terms of occurrences that happened during those 4 years. But I think an analysis would suggest that little of what happened during his 4 years was a consequence of things he did. He had chaos during his 4 years. He had a revolving door of advisors. About the only legislation that passed during that period was his tax reduction, which was ill-guided and was itself inflationary. He had the pandemic and the god-awful governmental response, total chaos to the one single area of that required leadership and leadership expertise and policy, and it was a collapse. Now, with respect to the campaign, it's a complete blank slate. I mean, here's Donald Trump. Yesterday he was talking to farmers, and he said, if I'm not elected, you'll lose your farm. If I'm elected, I'm going to protect you farmers. I'm your protector. Now, declaring yourself to be someone's protector and announcing policies are way different things, right? In that context, he didn't discuss any policies. His reference could have been to his tariff policies. His tariff policies are, by admission, even of those who advocate tariffs, harebrained. You know, not going to work, not going to be a substitute for raising taxes other ways, not going to be a tax on foreign government, but rather going to be a tax on American consumers. And so, you know, to the extent that he has policies that he talks about, it's tariffs and tax cuts, very inflationary and not sound policy. So, you know, I have a problem. And then again, I think the person he demonstrates himself to be is fundamentally unsound. And so, you know, his declaration of being a savior, it seems to be an extension of his own sort of messiah complex. But, you know, he doesn't have policies to stand behind it, not ones that would work, not ones that he could implement that would be beneficial.
You know, Sandy, you said that he said he was going to be the protector of the farmers if he's elected. So here he is yesterday saying this, excuse me, Trump tells women, I am your protector at a Pennsylvania rally. There's clearly some correlation between him now saying he's going to be the protector.
Was that the same people? Same speech? This must have been this must have been his protector speech.
So former President Trump on Monday told women he would protect them if he is elected and attacked his opponent, Vice President Harris, as very dumb during a rally in key battleground of Pennsylvania.
Who was protecting the 11 women who accused him of assaulting them?
Well, Sandy, I thought that it was Donald Trump and Republicans who said that Democrats have been saying these negative things and it caused the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And J.D. Vance said, that has to stop. So calling the vice president dumb.
Well, and also a danger to farmers, if you know, or a danger to women. You know, I mean, really, his principle is to tell everyone, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm going to provide that to you. You need a protector, I'm your protector. You need cheaper groceries, I'm going to make sure you get cheaper groceries. I want him to explain how it is that the president of the United States is going to make their groceries cheaper.
Well, so Trump at one point sought to directly address women in the audience, as polls have shown him trailing Harris with that demographic of voters. He read an extended version of a Truth Social post from over the weekend in which he said women would be happy and no longer thinking about abortion if he's elected. Sandy, can you explain to me how he's going to get into women's heads because he's the president?
Maybe he thinks they'll just be fantasizing about Donald Trump. You know, the fact is that one of the ways that he showed his misogyny was to talk to women by going to a grocery store, as if a grocery store is a woman's domain, and talking about the price of groceries so that he could be speaking to women in the territory in which they belong. It's again his concept of women. Once again, and the list of people who he's called very stupid is predominantly women. Okay. That's not an insult he chooses to use for men very often.
You left something out. He paid for a woman's groceries. You see that?
Yeah. Well, he gave her a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
And he didn't give them to her out of his pocket. He went over to an aide and said, "Give me some money." And he gave it to her and said, "Here, you need some money to buy your groceries."
I make this statement to the great women of our country. Sadly, women are poorer than they were 4 years ago, are less healthy than they were 4 years ago, are less safe on the streets than they were 4 years ago, and are paying much higher prices for groceries and everything else than they were 4 years ago, Trump said.
We should take that apart. They are not more endangered on the streets than they were 4 years ago. They're actually safer on the streets than they were 4 years ago. All of those things, other than the price of groceries, which have gone up, all of those other things are untrue. He made them up.
Well, Sandy, I will fix all of that, and fast. And at long last, this nation and national nightmare will end. It will end, Trump said, because I am your protector. I want to be your protector as president. I have to be your protector. I hope you don't make too much of it. I hope the fake news doesn't go, "Oh, he wants to be their protector." Well, I am. As president, I have to be your protector. Is this the same guy who said, "Grab a woman by there"?
Yeah.
Is this the same guy who said, "Beautiful women allow you, you just grab them and kiss them"?
Yeah.
Is that the same guy?
It's the same guy that's been accused by 11 women of assault. It's the same one who's, yes. I mean, his view of women is well established.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question. His view of women and how he's treated women has been horrible.
Yeah, and his process for choosing the women that are around him, it clearly
have to be good looking.
It's a glamour test.
Yeah,
yeah, and there's very little other excuse for having this Loomer woman hanging around.
Well, she's not exactly a glamour.
I don't know what she is exactly, but she's hanging around.
I know. You know, Sandy, the thing about all of this that is so mind-boggling to me is none of this stuff sticks. Right?
Right. Well, I think I said before, when you run your life openly and notoriously, when you have no secrets, it's somehow people give you a blank check.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams and you got a lot more on the other side.
The Shaw, WAUK.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
They know it's a better world for them. And think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place is much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me.
All right. I hate to even interrupt that. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, at that same number. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, that music.
Well, you know, Friday had music for rain, and it rained. So today I've got music about world peace. And I'm not sure I can get the same result, but we can all wish for it.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. You know, I want to just continue a couple more paragraphs that Donald Trump at a rally on yesterday, and then we'll move on. But Trump, during Monday's rally, lambasted Harris throughout the event, attacking her intelligence, even as Republicans have urged him to focus on policy, and as his running mate has urged Democrats should turn down their rhetoric following another assassination attempt against Trump. She's worse than him, Trump said, comparing Harris to President Biden. I'm telling you, watch. She's not as smart as him. She's not smart. He never was smart, but she is a very dumb person. That's the King's English, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
and he's the arbiter of smart.
And we can't do that. We can't do that. I don't want to be rude. Trump claimed a Harris presidency would tank the economy and lead to cities overrun by crime and immigration. At one point, he referenced Springfield, Ohio, a town that has been at the center of attacks from Republicans over an influx of Haitian migrants, leading his supporters to chant, "Send them back." And do you think Springfield will ever be the same? I don't think so, Trump said. The fact is, and I'll say it now, you have to get them the hell out. You have to get them out. I'm sorry. Get them out. Can't have it. They've destroyed it. Many Haitians are in the U.S. under protective temporary service. But Trump rallied with supporters in India. Let me just say this. Donald Trump sends out these racist tropes.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I mean, it's not dog whistling anymore.
No.
No, it's overt, and somehow it's okay. You know, it comes out of his mouth. If it came out of somebody else's mouth, there would be mountains of criticism, and that person would be ostracized. He'd be treated like David Duke, right? His behavior now is David Duke-like, but he's running for president of the United States, and he seems to be immune from the kind of a discussion of his behavior that is deserved. You know, the kind of criticism. You know, the there are explicit terms that can be used for his behavior: racist, xenophobic. You know, this notion of racial purity smacks of fascism. It's, you know, all these things, and yet he would say those are radical terms, you know, that are going to cause people to try and, you know, be violent against me, when his language is pure violence. Get them out.
You know, Sandy, and then it would be different if he was standing alone saying those things and there weren't throngs of people behind him. Yay!
Yeah. I mean, he's saying these things because the people feed on it, and he feeds on it. It's a mutual. It's like a shark feeding frenzy, which is all about this kind of cultural purity, tribalism, that's born out of fear. You know, he's stoking cultural fears that are extremely problematic.
So I want to get back before we move forward, Sandy, with challenging the narrative again that people are supporting him because Kamala is so bad and they don't know anything about what she stands for. We clearly know what he stands for when he makes the statements that I've been reading here yesterday. The people who support him and say, well, we've got to vote for Donald Trump because we don't know what Kamala stands for.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is what they want to point at is what went on during his presidency. Okay, low inflation. If low inflation was so good, they should be congratulating Barack Obama for his period of extremely low inflation, right? There was inflation disappeared, went down to essentially zero during the Obama presidency, and that's what Donald Trump inherited. He inherited an economy with a Federal Reserve Bank that was setting interest rates very, very low because we were coming out of a recession that sprang up during the George Bush the second, at the end of his administration. It took us 8 years to recover. We were still recovering from it when Donald Trump took over. And we continued that recovery during his presidency, and he wants to lay claim to the recovery that he inherited.
But go ahead.
And then the only thing he implemented was the tax cut and the mayhem and chaos during the pandemic, which incidentally contributed to the supply chain the complete blockage in the supply chain. And I would remind people, one of the harbingers of the inflation was the fly up in used car prices. That fly up in used car prices happened during the Trump administration.
You know, Sandy, the people who support him don't hear any of what you just said. Even that truth you just spoke, it doesn't register with them, right? I mean,
apparently, because tribalism is a very, very important, it's in our DNA if it's stoked enough through fear. You know, fear and emotion overrides sort of the societal values.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Political parties are putting a lot of effort into the youth vote here in Wisconsin. Some analysts say young people alone could decide the election. Ever since Kamala Harris was named the nominee, there has been about a 20% jump in enthusiasm from Wisconsin voters age 18 to 29. That means social media may play a bigger role than ever. Hilario De Leon is chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Everyone's on it. We get our news from it. I have a TikTok account. I have my own social media platforms that I do. Any major, you know, corporation, company, sports team, political group, they all have social media.
Matthew Lehner is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin.
Social media is one of the big reasons why Janet Protasiewicz did so well in the 2023 Supreme Court election. I think you're going to see that again in 2024.
14% of young Wisconsin voters are still undecided. That's more than double any other age group. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. New felony charges have been filed against a former MPS board member. Aisha Carr is now accused of food stamp and public assistance fraud. Prosecutors claim Carr deliberately understated her income to receive food stamp benefits, resulting in over $2,800 in improper payments. The Catholic community of Waukesha has announced plans to merge its four parishes. Coming together are St. William, St. Mary, St. Joseph, and St. John Newman. The consolidation aims to streamline finances and administrative roles, with all four churches continuing to offer their own services. Bicyclists in southeastern Wisconsin will soon have a new path. A new one-mile paved trail will be built through Bender Park and Oak Creek. The project, funded by a federal grant, will extend the Oak Leaf Trail network south and create a nearly continuous 20-mile route between Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Zendaya says she's not sure if fame is for her. The two-time Emmy and Golden Globe winner says for some people, the power that comes from fame is part of the draw. And I don't know if that's for me, she said before yelling at her assistant that her water is not room temp. Just kidding. My advice to the star of Dune 2 before she throws it all away to become a regular schlub like the rest of us, try fame for another 10 to 20 years, save your money, and if you still don't like it, then walk away. Part 2 is not even in theaters yet, but director Ridley Scott is already talking about Gladiator 3. Scott says the way Gladiator 2 ends is very similar to Godfather 2, where Michael Corleone finds himself with a job he didn't want. So Scott says he has been kicking ideas around for Part 3. Scott told Premiere Magazine recently that Gladiator 2 is one of the best films he's ever made. The film stars Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Pedro Pascal, and Denzel Washington, and hits theaters November 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered rain likely today. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down later this afternoon. Our high today, 67. The wind will be northeast at about 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to give a shout out to Scott from Shorewood, who came by after the show yesterday and dropped off the new Matt Nair on air mascot. He has a friend who has a 3D printer, and they made Elon Musk's Jabba the Hutt. So Elon the Hutt.
You can tell that he grew up the prince of an apartheid king. It's amazing.
I'm sure this won't get us banned from Twitter.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. This is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, the music.
Peace. I wanted rain on Friday. Today, I want peace. This is all about peace in the world. That was George Harrison.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the changing, you know, winds of, you know, what really looks to be a difficult time in world peace that are upon us. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, I just want to say that, you know, I do believe in we the people are the government, and I do believe in democracy. And the way Trump talks, all he talks about is I. And all he talks about is I will fix it. You know what? Not one person can ever fix anything. It's got to be we the people. It's got to be a combination of people that actually fix problems in the world. And I just really think to all of the Republicans out there, people that are thinking about voting for him, he's such an insult to the American people's intelligence. He's an insult to his voters' intelligence. He acts like they're just naive little children. And like a five-year-old, or like a parent, when a kid's 5 years old, the parent will fix it. And that's not the way the world works, especially when we become adults and we can, you know, pull up our big pants and we can, you know, brush our own teeth and everything like that. So I just really would wish that these people that are voting for him would really look at the insult that he makes on you when he just says he's going to handle it all. I'm going to do this. I'm going to protect women. I'm sorry. That's the end of the democracy.
Well,
he talks like a dictator. He is a dictator.
Well, there's a substantial group of people who are supporting him, Tom.
Yeah, but I hope that that's 30%. But Sandy, I do want to ask you one question. Can you please compare and contrast between the two candidates' policies on child care, health care, taxes, and rent or mortgage? Can you just tell us what the actual policies are for each candidate at this time? I'd really appreciate that, and I'll take my answer.
Thank you very much for the call.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact is that Donald Trump's a blank slate with respect to policies associated with the things you just described. He's talked to people about, again, saving them, you know, and using that kind of language, protecting them, et cetera. But Kamala's actually talked about extending the child tax credit. She's talked about incentivizing housing costs in a variety of ways. She's talked about incentivizing a small business development and creation. So she's actually painted a rather definite picture of real policies, not just I'm going to solve the problem. She talks about the mechanism she's going to use to solve these problems, and she's talked about each one of them. She's talked about health care. She's talked about trying to minimize the costs of health care. So she's really talked about each one of the fundamental budget problems that I talked about last Friday that's faced by the median middle-class family. She's actually talking about actual policies. Donald Trump is just talking in platitudes, again, saying, I will solve these problems. Most of them are not subject to being solved by the office of the president, okay? Most of them require a legislative process to be solved and also leadership and direction, okay?
Well, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The people who support Donald Trump don't care one iota about the policies that Kamala Harris has clearly talked about.
Well, I think they would care about it if they weren't blinded by an emotional thrust that's been put to them, in which they've apparently bitten on the bait.
Succumbed to.
Yeah, the bait is out there. The chum is in the water. And unfortunately, our DNA is such that the tribalism is something that's easy to catch a hold of if we can make people frightened. So what's the frightened card? Immigration. Immigration is the fright card. He exaggerates, uses hyperbole and falsehood to try and paint immigrants as a fundamental danger, a criminal element, something that's going to destroy our society. So that's the fear. Now he can talk to these frightened people in tribalistic terms, and they are blind to the logic associated with what it is they really need or want, because it's been whipped up in them. So much of America, which is residing in the median income range below and above the median income, who face all these budgetary problems, if they vote for Donald Trump, are simply going to do so because they've been blinded by his rhetoric from their real interest, which is to try and solve these problems. And there's only one candidate who's talking about solving those problems. Donald Trump wants to exacerbate them with tariffs that'll raise the price of everything. He wants to exacerbate it with tax cuts that will fundamentally increase the disequilibrium in the distribution of wealth in this country. So everything he talks about, actually, if people thought about it, will exacerbate the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary who reside at or near the median income.
So I watched some of the rally yesterday, and you know what I saw? The same thing that he was doing 8 years ago when he was the president, before he became the president, having those rallies, entertaining the people who were around him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. By the way, Barack Hussein Obama. Yay, yay. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So Tom just asked you to talk about, you know, the policies. We all know Donald Trump has no policies. But Sandy, the frightful thing is that doesn't register with a significant group of people in this country.
Well, what the people want to do is point to the four-year experience. They better only point at a three-year experience, because the last year, subject to the period of the pandemic, was a disaster, okay? It was a chaotic economy. It was a chaotic public policy situation. It was a chaotic public health situation. The first 3 years was a continuation of the
Obama
economy, which was then they poured gasoline on the fire with a tax reduction that wasn't needed in order to fire up the economy. We already had a hot economy, and we continue to have an economy which is very, very strong. You know, the stock market just set another high record yesterday.
Was it 42,000?
Yeah, if you want to use the stock market, which is Donald Trump's favorite index, you know, it's stronger than ever. But the fact is that what's going to affect our Tom, Dick, and Mary situation is public policy. Policies being implemented. It's not simply an economy. And I might point out that some of the callers who call in and want to talk about how it is that the tax reduction would have worked but for the pandemic, I might just point out that the whole trickle-down process, that concept was initiated with Ronald Reagan. And it didn't work, and the people who back it say, well, it would have worked except for the recession that came in the late 80s and early 90s, okay? And then George Bush II.
Voodoo economics.
George Bush II had a tax reduction, which was going to pay for itself because of trickle-down, okay? It didn't work. It didn't work because of the massive recession we had at the end of his term, okay? Donald Trump implements one. It didn't work because of a recession, okay? But those recessions aren't disconnected from the tax reduction. The inflation we had in the first years of the Biden administration is not disconnected from that inflationary tax cut that occurred during the Trump years. And the fact is that there is no basis for demonstrating that Tom, Dick, and Mary benefit from the kind of tax reductions which have been implemented.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I know you won't give me enough time, but to listen to Sandy duck and weave and contort himself, who's president, who's vice president right now? Yep, Joe Biden, if you ever saw him, and it's Kamala Harris.
Hey, CJ.
We're living their policy.
Hey, CJ. Again, man. You know, I mean...
Let me just know. That's okay. CJ, you'll give you enough rope. You can hang yourself. But CJ, we're living the policies and the policies that are described as a disaster, you know, that this nightmare will end, Donald Trump said during the rally yesterday. Tell me about the nightmare that's occurring right now here in the United States with respect to the policies. today. Not the inflation that we had during the first 2 years, but tell me the nightmare that's occurring right now that will end.
How about the sanctuary cities? How about the
sanctuary cities?
Wait, can I finish?
No, you can't.
Go ahead.
No. Because enough of him changing the subject. We're talking about the subject that we're talking about, CJ. You know, if you can't stick with the subject that we're talking about, we can't have a conversation. I'm sorry.
You were talking about the border.
No, we weren't talking about the border. Haven't mentioned the border once.
My question was, what is the nightmare today that's the result of the policies of this administration that will end, that is subjecting the United States citizenry, Tom, Dick, and Mary, to the nightmare? What is the nightmare?
Well, I guess, I'm a landowner, or I own some apartments, and have you tried to have tenants that can afford what people are paying for rent right now, Sandy?
We'll take these one at a time. So the reason for the increase in the price, the rental price, has to do with a shortage of housing, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really? What does it have to do with? What is it? What is it in the marketplace that controls the price of rent?
It has to do with, well, I tell you what, you guys need to get out more, because I tell you what's causing it is illegal aliens.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's move on. You know, number one, that has nothing to do with the subject that we've been talking about, okay? We've got people waiting on the line who want to talk about the subject that we're talking about. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, I'll talk about the economy. I'll talk about what we're living in. In the last year, my son retired. In the last year, my portfolio has gone higher than it's gone, I think, since I've been retired. And I've been retired 25 years, CJ. So let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about rent. My family has a lot of rental properties. They're all full to capacity, and they're all doing well. I don't know who you're renting to or what your prices are, but maybe you should own apartment buildings if they're really a burden on you. You just said they're a burden. They can't afford it. Well, dump them. That apartment building will be bought up quickly. Don't give something air when it can't hold air, CJ. But let's just move forward. Donald Trump said, and I quote, if I shot somebody in downtown New York, nothing would happen. He's right. He's a convicted felon 34 times. He's a sexual predator with convictions, two impeachments, 11 bankruptcies. He averages a bankruptcy about every decade. This is a leader? 1 million people died under him during COVID. Shelves were empty under him during COVID. Have you forgotten all that? You know, we have to wake up and smell the roses. So here's the bottom line. If you believe in democracy, if you believe in credibility and honesty, vote for Kamala. If you believe in criminal activity, vote for Donald. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have some great news for our money. The Fed just cut interest rates for the first time in 4 years. This means that buying a house or a car is about to get a little easier and a little cheaper because loans are going to cost less. It might be time for some refinancing. And my favorite part is that credit card interest rates should also be coming down. This is because inflation is under control. The Fed is the Federal Reserve. It's the central bank of the U.S. They kept interest rates high because they wanted to bring down inflation. And the current administration has done a lot to curb price gouging from corporations. So now inflation is low enough that the country's top bankers, the folks at the Fed, have cut interest rates. It feels pretty great to share some good money news. I'd love to hear yours. Drop me a comment on any one of my videos over at Work Money Media on YouTube.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
We gotta have peace to keep the world alive and want to cease. We gotta have joy to win our hearts with strength we can't destroy. People hear us.
Curtis Mayfield. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text it at that same number, Sandy, to music.
That's about peace, and all about peace. And, you know, there's so much music about peace. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to work, but yeah. there's lots of it, and most of it's pretty good.
Let's do this. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I just quickly wanted to respond to CJ and just echo the sentiments from the previous caller before you went on break. I own a small single-family home that I rent out. And in 2004, I purchased that home for under $50,000. Today, that home, I could put it on the market and at least triple my value easily. Probably, I could probably get any more, probably get more. Now, the issue here is when I purchased that home, it was considered a starter home for young families. Today, a starter home for young families is between $175,000 to $225,000, depending upon the area where you live in. And one thing I will say about CJ that, you know, that's a problem with the home in terms of landlords, and it's a cost that that's not being addressed, and that is property taxes. And it is a local issue. My property taxes, I just received notice that my home will be reassessed, and I already know my property taxes are going to go up. So that's the cost that landlords are absorbing, and unfortunately, we have to pass that along to the tenants that we rent. So, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, you know,
there's a lot going
on. You live in Middleton, and Middleton is a fast-growing community. And so with all of the expansion that's going on, you know, the taxes are certainly going to go up. You know, in other areas across the nation and across the state and across cities, they're not growing as fast as Middleton. And so, you know, property taxes aren't you know, exploding like they are.
Well,
there.
Well, one of the problems is that the way the state legislatures have set things up, the revenue source for municipalities ends up being property taxes, which are regressive. And of course, if the value of a house goes up, the flip side of that increase in wealth is the increase in the taxation on that wealth. But, you know, nationally, people with wealth have resisted being taxed on wealth, right? They want to be taxed right. on income. But locally, people are taxed on wealth, which is essentially the measurement of the value of a property, which is much like the measurement of the value of stocks in a stock portfolio, except one is tangible and one is intangible. Part of the problem with property taxes is the regressive policies of conservative state legislatures and their desire to kind of strangle cities. Milwaukee, in particular, has gone through this process of trying to find revenue streams independent from property taxes to support the costs that are associated with large metropolitan areas. Madison is growing rapidly and is beginning to develop into a large metropolitan area.
Cassandra?
Well, my property, it's not in Dane County. It's actually in Winnebago County. But what you stated, it's applicable all across the state of Wisconsin. But property taxes are an issue, especially for the elderly. Many of them, depending on the area, your property tax is sometimes higher than your actual mortgage.
So Cassandra, how do you fix that?
To be quite honest, I don't know. It's just an observation I was making. But,
right.
you know, thanks for taking the
call. All right, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, the fact that the property taxes are what they are, And yes, they're pretty difficult for people to swallow. A lot of people, it's the only wealth that they've accumulated. And it's the only thing that, you know, separates them from
It's an interesting argument that I just made that I hadn't thought of before, because the world is accepted. The world in the United States, at least, has accepted the notion of taxing the wealth, which is reflected by a home value, but they reject the notion of taxing the wealth that is associated with the value of money in a portfolio. And, they're not intellectually very different from one another in terms of being forms of wealth. And if we can tax wealth on the one hand, we can probably tax it on the other as well.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Guys, hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for matinee on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Beyond the Board in Brookfield. This board game cafe is the perfect place to relax and recharge, offering a wide selection of new and classic board games. Indulge in delicious pizzas, subs, salads, and adult beverages for those 21 and older. You and your friends will have a great time at Beyond the Board. They make all the right moves. Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $25 of gift certificates for just $12.50. Today only at WAUK Big Deals.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your
are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.